One of the thought to be the precursors of the kind of practice we do here, which is called Zen, it's just called that, was a religion or philosophy or way of life that originated in China, and its name was Taoism. And Lao Tzu was the founder, or thought to be the founder of Taoism. And he wrote a long treatise called the Tao Te Ching. And the very first line of that, I think, is something we'll look into tonight, along with a couple of koan that I'll bring up. And the line goes this way. The Tao that can be named is not the true Tao. So you can understand how hard it is to talk about this matter. The Tao that can be named is not the true Tao. Now, the translation of Tao, you could call it the way with a capital W, meaning like the way of truth. Or sometimes it's thought to be the one mind, the way that Wang Po put it. I talked about him last week and the week before. The one capital O, mind, capital M, the one mind. So the way, the one mind, the eternal truth with a capital T. The deepest reality, the source with a capital S, the source of everything. So this Tao, if you even call it the Tao, if you even call it the way, you call it eternal truth, you call it Bodhi, you call it enlightenment, you've already gone wrong. Because that's not the real Tao. How do we get to the real Tao? That is what we're doing here. That is the essence of this practice that we call Zazen. So already we're getting on this wavelength that these names are very important. We couldn't communicate without them. They're part of this map that enables us to interact. And they're also, in a sense, these names, when they're used properly, poetically, in a way that doesn't allow the intellect to grab right on. So in this koanic, K-O-A-N, koanic way, these names, words, can be a kind of medicine to cure the imaginary illness. And that illness, very simply put, would be the belief that somehow there's an entity inside with characteristics utterly separate from, but perceiving, a so-called outside world. That is the fundamental lesion, the illusory illness. And the Tao is this way to the unification of those apparent two separate things. So how do we get there? Even to begin to think of this as something to go after, something to attain, something to understand, something to awaken to, is already to have made this gash in reality. You've already gashed it. Because in your mind, it's like, I'm not there. There's something to be attained. It's called the way. It's called enlightenment. It's called truth. I've got to get it. So it becomes kind of a dream within a dream. The dream is the dream of separation, of separate entities, separate things, Everything has a name, and each of these names denotes a separated entity. Remember what the Buddha said, that there are no separated entities, no separate personalities. He said the three marks of existence are dukkha, meaning incompleteness, anicca, continually changing, never the same from moment to moment, like a flowing river, anatta, no dividing lines. Anatta literally means no self, but it's no self. There's no self of this watch. There's no self of this carpet. There's no self of this body-mind here and all the body-minds in the circle. Buddha said that that was a deep aspect of what we call existence, or what we can perceive. So this Tao that can be named, split off, made special, made different than something that is not Tao, is not the true Tao. How do we get there? Let me read something from, this is a book by a Zen master, it's a Japanese Rinzai. Remember I mentioned before these two schools of Zen that are still extant in the world today. The Soto school, the fundamental practice of which is Shikantaza, which is this wonderful not naming the Tao, entering it, being it, no separation. Immediately, direct, do not pass go, do not collect $200, do not collect awakening, just go there, unity attained. It's the essence of Shikantaza. And then the Rinzai school, which utilizes these poison words to cure the imaginary illness, called koan, deep questioning, deep inquiry, going to the very core, not stopping till you've gone all the way through. Both are so important. They're almost like two sides of one coin. That's why in the particular school of Zen that we're in here, that I feel my spiritual fathers have come from, is this school that doesn't say one or the other. So in this book by a Rinzai master, Zenkei Shibayama, these are comments on the Mumonkan, and they're actually Teisho, and they're really very wonderful. And in one of these Teisho, he describes a very brief encounter between a student and his teacher, and a Zen master. So this student of Zen, all of us here are just like him, students, serious students of Zen. This is no bullshit. This is climbing a mountain of swords in your bare feet. I'm not messing around. I really want to know. This is not an idle question. My life depends upon it. Feels like that. Going to the teacher. And he asked the teacher, what is the eternal truth? Capital E, capital T. What is the eternal truth? And the master replied, you have missed it. The student didn't quit there. The student said, what is when I miss it? And this is the key to this. Don't just look at it on the surface. There's so much more to this answer. He said, it is no longer eternal truth. What is it when I miss it? It is no longer eternal truth. Remember what Lao Tzu said. So the Tao that can be named is not the true Tao. This master is saying to the student, I want to give you the true Tao. It's no longer eternal truth. Now this student worked on this for years until he had a thoroughgoing awakening. Now the master was a Tang Dynasty master. His name was Ganto, Master Ganto. He's a very famous Tang Dynasty master. And one of his several very accomplished Zen master students was this student who became, his name was Master Shigen, but the habit in China back in this day was wherever you set up your temple should kind of be your final place. You'd be named after the place. It's very profound. You're no longer this individual name that has a history and separated personality. You become the place that you're in. You are the place. The place he was in was called Zuigan, and this was Master Zuigan. This is the famous Master Zuigan of the 12th Khan in the Mumon Khan, which happens to be, I believe, our dear departed Master Richard Clark's favorite koan. The one that I heard him talk about the most, mention the most Teisho. And I've looked back on this koan many times. It often has seemed kind of superficial, like a morality play or good advice. But it's so important with this kind of poetic, paradoxical literature that pushes the mind to a place beyond naming. And you look again and again and again. The meaning of the word respect means to look again. I have such immense respect for these stories. I look at them again and again and again. I never feel I've had a final understanding of them. So this Master Zuigan, when he was a brand new student, he first met Ganto, he said, what is eternal truth? You could say, what is the Tao? Ganto said, you've missed it. Just to ask, just to name it, just to have an idea in your mind that there's something out there called the Tao, enlightenment, eternal truth, is for you to have already missed it. Remember what the Buddha said? He said, truly, I gain nothing from complete unexcelled enlightenment. I gained nothing. I search for it to the bottom of my soul. Against all sorts of obstacles, internal and external. And finally, when I came to it, I realized that I had gained nothing. I found out what I had always been, what I always was. But it's not enough to just accept that. All right, I'm already enlightened. No need to look for it. Let's go on to see what's on TV tonight. I mean, that's okay, but that approach is not going to, it's not going to work. It's not going to cure this imaginary illness. So Zuigan, this is the attitude, okay? This is the attitude. What is it when I miss it? What is it when I feel I don't have it? I still have to know. I have faith that I have always been it. It's never been apart from me, but what is it? This is the way to find out. It's not through naming. It's through this exceedingly intimate, deep, soul-searching. And there's a name for that. It's called Zazen. Now, I say this over and over, and I feel that if I could be of any value to anyone else, is simply to impart this kind of heart. It's a heart. The book I wrote was Form is Emptiness, an insider's guide to the heart of Zen Buddhism. This is a heart. It's this profound, inner, intimate inquiry that really never ends. Even after awakening, you have to continue to sweep it away because it gets stale. It gets rote. It gets named. You name it. In other words, you have a certain idea in your mind of it. It gets frozen. You have to keep sweeping it away and going back to the original search, which is the way of staying awake, not falling asleep. So Master Zuigan, when he became a master, there's a very, very, very well-known story about Master Zuigan. Anyone who knew Zuigan knew this habit of his, habit. And so this is the 12th koan, and it talks about that. This is this master that asked Ganto the question, what is eternal truth? So the case goes like this. Every day, Zuigan used to call to himself, "Oh, Master!" and would answer himself, "Yes! Be awake, be awake!" he would exclaim. And then answer, "Yes, yes! Don't be fooled by others any day, any time. No, I will not." And that's the case. This case is so profound. Don't be fooled by it. Don't be fooled by its simplicity. It is pointing the way. It's pointing the direction for us. Remember Zuigan, he worked for years on this. What is it when I miss it? It's no longer eternal truth. What is it? This is how he broke through, how he got free. How he went past that sense of the imaginary illness of I'm on one side of a line and the world is on the other side. But he didn't stop. He didn't say, "Oh, now I got it. Okay, now I can go on to the next thing." It says every day, Zuigan. This is the great master Zuigan. Tang Dynasty master. Every day, he would call to himself, "Oh, Master!" and would answer, "Yes! Be awake, be awake! Yes, yes! Do not be fooled by others. Any day, any time. No, I will not." What is this? What is he pointing at? First of all, why is he talking to himself? Why is he calling out to himself and answering? What is that? What is this calling out and answering? Is this not the most exquisite intimacy? This is communing with the deepest part of himself. Master! This master that is one with everything. Yes. Yes, that's what I am. Down to the core. Sometimes I say, when you're working on a koan or anything in Zazen, it could be counting your breath. Be like I read this story about this killer whale that grab the trainer and pull him down underwater. Take this practice and grab it with your teeth and pull it down to the deepest part inside of you. Master, yes, down there. This is very, very intimate. Sometimes I call it the center of the center of the center. It's not a place, it's a direction. You never end up anywhere. You're just going to this intimate place, as deep as you can go, every time you sit down. Go there immediately. Don't waste any time. Take the posture, put your hands in the mudra, three bells ring. Go there right then. Right then. Master, yes! To the very core. That's where you do your practice, in Zazen. So, for example, you're working on the Koan Mu. I asked you, what part of Mu is outside you? What part of it? Is there any atom of it? Any neutrino of it? Any string of it? Any tiniest, minuscule piece of it that is outside you? Not any piece of it is outside you. It's you. When you're working on Mu, you're working on you. Master, yes! That's the spirit. Mu. Mu. What are you? When you ask what this Mu is, you're asking, what am I? What is my deepest essence? This is the intimacy I'm talking about. Shikantaza is exactly the same. You just go right there. You don't use Mu. You just go right to the center. Are you awake or be awake? And this koan says, be awake, be awake. Be awake. In other words, no naming. The Tao that can be named is not the real Tao. I want the real Tao. No ideas. No names. No strategies. No pictures. No path. No before and after. No past, present, and future. No identification with a history. Let that go. Drop it. Be awake. What is being awake? Only one thing. It's what is. Now.
Mu.
Or the breath. Or just this moment. Your body on the cushion. What could you possibly name that? Pick a name for it. Describe it in 1,000 words. You still couldn't have anyone else even begin to have the slightest idea of it. Only you yourself know. One description of awakening, and this is in the commentary on the Koan Mu, which is the first koan of the Mumon Kan. The description of awakening is, it's like a person who's drinking water. Only they know for themselves whether it's hot or cold. It's like a person who can't speak, a dumb person who had a dream. How could a dumb person had a dream tell anybody about it? You can't speak of it. You can't describe it. You can't name it. You can only experience it. But we're not done. So he goes on. He said, don't be fooled by others. Any day, any time. Others. We go to this intimate place. We strip off the names. We are awake to what's actually happening. But it still seems outside a center. This is the nub of our practice. This is where people really suffer when they work on Mu, or any inquiry practice, or Zazen. I do feel there should be a certain kind of, I put quotes around suffering, it's the most delicious, wonderful suffering, of doing Zazen in this intimate, profound way, throwing your whole heart in it. Sometimes I get up from Zazen, just doing Shikantaza, and I'm literally out of breath, like I ran around the block. That's how intense I sit. Remember what Yasutani Roshi wrote in his description of Shikantaza. He says, if you're properly doing Shikantaza, and this was in a teisho I gave a few weeks ago, he said, your body should break out all over in a fine sweat. And if someone were to lightly touch your shoulder, you'd jump 3 feet off the cushion. This is the spirit. Now, it's not tense, straining. It's you relax everything else. You keep that body taut, like I've taught this posture to all of you, or many of you. Your body's taut. There's a tautness to it, not a tightness to it. It's just so that everything is awake and alert, and then you plunge just with your mind all the way down to the rock bottom. And that's how you do Zazen. Now, you don't have to do it that way. You can just do very relaxed Zazen that will have an immensely healing effect on the body and mind. And you will develop Jodaki. So those of you who want to sit like that, it's totally fine. It's whatever your own needs are. You come from your own center. I'm just explaining this for those who really want to know this path. Those are the ones I feel I can really help. The other ones, I don't really need to say anything. If you want to sit in Zazen just for calmness and let your thoughts settle, it's totally fine. You don't really need anyone to tell you how to do that. So I'm talking about this. It's so hard to get to. It's so important to be inspired to go in this direction because it's hard. It's difficult. It's scary sometimes. But it's wonderful. It's exquisite. It's so cleansing, so clarifying. So he said, don't be fooled by others. No, I will not. It's this constant reminder not to be fooled by the notion that there's something out there. Remember what I said before. What tiny, minuscule piece of this mu is outside you? If it's not outside you, then why does it seem outside you? All right, this is the deep question. This is the question that only you can answer. Only you can answer it. No one else can do that for you. Believe me, the Buddha would have done it for all of his disciples if he could have. But you can't, because you are at the very center of the universe, and there's only space there for one center. Someone from the outside can't come in and be in that center and wake that center up. You have to go to the center of the universe. Only you can go there. It's your center. That's where you find it. It's really wonderful too, because each of us has to do this in our own mind and body. Each of us has to make exactly the same effort. And then you've gotten there on your own. Then it's the Tao that can't be named. That's how you find the real Tao, not the Tao that can be named. Someone else can give you the name, can write a description of it. You can read many, many books on it, including the book I wrote, which are only pointers, but they're not the real Tao. So, I wanted to read one other thing. This is really wonderful. This is very abstruse. I keep coming back to this book. You've seen it a lot, the Zen Koan, which is actually a summary, kind of a boiled down version of a book that is no longer in print. It's a very rare book. It's actually really expensive. I'm lucky enough to have a copy. It's called Zen Dust. But this is really the heart of that book. And I'm going to read a poem. It's another, this is like a koan. This is a description of this intimate place. Okay, so everything we talked about tonight, well, what's this place like? It's helpful to continually hear these poetic koan-like descriptions, they bring us there if we use them in the right way. Let me read this to you. So the poet Secho, by the way, was the he was the compiler of the Blue Cliff Records. And that's the book of 100 koan that in our particular school, after you and I, or whoever you work with, has gone to the 48 koan of the Mumon Khan, that's the next book you'll go on to, the Hekigan Roku. One by one, all 100. He had commentaries on each of these. It's a remarkable text. But he wrote this verse in commentary on a koan. There's a koan in the Hekigan Roku about this person, Riku Ko and Nansen. They were talking, and Riku Ko quoted a Dharma master and said, "That's just amazing." Nansen pointed to a flower, took him over to a garden, pointed to a flower, said, "When men of today look at this flower, it seems to them like in a dream." So Secho wrote a comment on this. This is it. Hearing, seeing, understanding, knowing. Each of these is not separate. Remember now, I'm talking about this intimate place that you go to when you go deep inside in your zazen. Hearing, seeing, understanding, knowing. Each of these is not separate. For this one, mountains and rivers do not appear in the mirror. And then he goes on. This is a wonderful, exquisite, very difficult, abstruse. When the frosty heaven's moon has set, and midnight nears, whose shadow with mine will the clear pool reflect? Cold? It's a very famous poem. One of the most abstruse writings in Zen. He's describing a place. You can imagine now, maybe this is a monk who's doing a retreat all by himself or all by herself at the edge of a frosty lake in winter, sitting in an unheated cottage with the door open, staring out at this lake just after the moon has set. It's probably 1 a.m. Remember, in the third watch of the night, before the moon appears. No wonder when we meet there's no recognition. This profoundly deep place. What is it? All the way down, the most intimate place. You go past any thought, any description. You go beneath light itself. When the frosty heaven's moon is set, this is the attitude, this deep place inside. The frosty heaven's moon, even the little bit of light from that frosty heaven's moon is set, and midnight nears. Whose shadow with mine? My shadow. What is my shadow? My thoughts, my body, my life, all the things I identify with. They're my shadow. Whose shadow with my shadow will the clear pool reflect? Remember, it's out in the winter, the edge of a lake. Whose shadow with mine? Cold? The shadow of mine, how is it any different than anything else? How is it separate from the floor, from the sounds? It's just a shadow reflecting on the clear pool. Well, I think it'd be wonderful to end right here. So, we'll end here tonight.